tired. At her home in the hills overlooking the Stanford campus, she and her husband, the chairman of the Stanford Bacteriology Department, had held a party for 15 couples, and everyone had stayed late. Mrs. Stone was annoyed. She had been raised in official Washington, where one second cup of coffee, offered pointedly without cognac, was accepted as a signal to go home. Unfortunately, she thought, academics did not follow the rules. She had served the second cup of coffee hours ago, and everybody was still there. Shortly before 1 a.m., the doorbell rang. Answering it, she was surprised to see two military men standing side by side in the night. "I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am," one said politely, "but is this the residence of Dr. Jeremy Stone?" "Yes," she said, frowning slightly, "it is." "Ma'am, we must see Dr. Stone at once, please." It all seemed strange to her, and she found herself frightened. Everyone was still talking and laughing. The room was noisy and dense with smoke. She found Jeremy in a corner, in the midst of some argument about riots. She touched his shoulder, and he disengaged himself from the group. "I know this sounds funny," she said, "but there are some kind of army men here. They say they want to see you." For a moment, Stone looked surprised, and then he nodded. "I'll take care of it." His attitude annoyed her. He seemed almost to be expecting it. "Captain Morton," the man said to Stone. He did not offer to shake hands. "There's a fire, sir." "All right," Stone said. He looked down at his dinner jacket. "Do I have time to change?"
"Afraid not, sir."
To her astonishment, Allison saw her husband nod quietly. "All right." He turned to her and said, "I've got to leave." His face was blank and expressionless, and it seemed to her like a nightmare. His face was like that while he spoke.
"What is it?" she said. "Are you under arrest?"
"No," he said with a slight smile. "It's nothing like that. Make my apologies to everyone, will you?" In the car, Stone was given a file to read. Stenciled on the brown cardboard cover was Project Summary Scoop. "Nothing else?" Stone said.
"No, sir."
Stone sighed. He had never heard of Project Scoop before. The file would have to be read carefully, but it was too dark in the car to read. There would be time for that later on the airplane. He found himself thinking back over the last 5 years, back to the rather odd symposium on Long Island and the rather odd little speaker from England who had, in his own way, begun it all. In the summer of 1962, J.J. Merrick, the English biophysicist, presented a paper to the 10th Biological Symposium at Cold Spring Harbor, Long Island. The paper was entitled Frequencies of Biologic Contact According to Speciation Probabilities, and its subject was the form that Earth's first contact with extraterrestrial life might take. Merrick had concluded, "All available evidence on the origin of life points to the evolutionary progression from simple to complex life forms. This is true on Earth. It is probably true throughout the universe. My own calculations, indicated earlier in the paper, consider the relative abundance of different organisms throughout the universe." Unicellular organisms, Merrick said, were by far the most numerous on Earth.
"These considerations lead me to believe that the first human interaction with extraterrestrial life will consist of contact with organisms similar to, if not identical to, Earth bacteria or viruses. The consequences of such contact are disturbing when one recalls that 3% of all Earth bacteria are capable..."